Today we're reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches and palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it was written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's calf." The disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said one to another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." That's the word of God for the people of God.
Well, thank you, choir. I have to say, that is my favorite Palm Sunday anthem of all time. I've loved that song since I was in junior high. In fact, I'm going to tell you, when I was in junior high and I got to sing in the choir of my church and they did that, I got so excited that then I used to sing it while I was on my paper route because I love that song so much. I know, that wasn't anticipated, but I just love that. I knew it was going to be a great Palm Sunday when I saw the choir was singing that. So will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for your presence among us. As we step into this holy week, as we ride into Jerusalem with King Jesus, Lord, I pray that we can truly hear the story, that we can bring our authentic selves to hear what you have to say to us. And so, Lord, may the words of my mouth, but the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. For, Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, I can remember the day that my son Kyle became a Chiefs fan. I mean, I know the exact day that it happened. And it's significant because Kyle was not really interested in sports as a child. Not at all. I mean, we tried everything because I love sports and I wanted him to be involved in sports, but I tell you, he just had no interest. We did soccer, we did baseball, we tried football, we tried basketball. We finally got him into to golf and that didn't work. And then karate. Now karate, he took that one wasn't too bad for him because all he had to do was learn the right moves and, you know, whatever, what the katas that they had to do. So he did that for a while, but he soon lost interest in that as well. I think it was when we took him to a karate match and he actually had to go up against another student. He said, nah, that's not for me. Both of our children, Amy and Kyle, were much more into the arts than they were into sports. At least Amy would go to the games with me, though, because I would say, "Amy, you want to go to the basketball game? I'll buy you a cheese pretzel." And she says, "I'm in." I mean, don't underestimate the power of bribery with your children or grandchildren, because she would go and eat the cheese pretzel and she would attend games, and especially Royals opening day baseball, she would go with me to that every single year. It just became our tradition. And in fact, when the Royals got good, 2014, 2015, all of a sudden, she became a super fan. She fell in love with the Royals, and today we still talk Royals baseball and try to think back to when we were good. But this isn't about baseball or this is about Kyle. Kyle, when he became a Chiefs fan, it was October 14th, 2018. That was the day. Someone in the church I was serving had been given a couple of Chiefs tickets. And they couldn't go. We lived in Salina at the time. They knew that I loved the Chiefs, and so they offered them to me. And at first, I turned them down because I said, it's really hard for me to get done with church at noon on Sunday and get to Arrowhead by noon from Salina. And so I said, I can't. They said, but it's a night game. And I said, oh, a night game? And I did the math and I realized I could make it. And so I thought, I'm going to bring Amy. I was going to offer her cheese pretzel. We'd go to the game. And Diana says, well, why wouldn't you take Kyle? And I said, do you know Kyle? Kyle has no interest in football. And so why would we take Kyle to the football game? And she said, have you asked him? I said, no. So I said, Kyle, would you like to go to a Chiefs game with me? And Kyle says, I've never gone to a Chiefs game, which is a typical Kyle answer. He's not going to commit either way or let you know he's excited. He just, I've never gone to a Chiefs game. I said, Kyle, would you like to go to a Chiefs game? Turns out that going on an adventure with your dad was enough to say, yes, I'd love to do that. And so we decided the two of us would go to the game. And so that Sunday after church, we loaded up and we headed off to Arrowhead Stadium. I tried to explain to him what he was going to experience when he got there, but I knew it wasn't clicking. And then when we pulled into the parking lot, all of a sudden he was overwhelmed, which is not unusual for Kyle, but to see all those people and the tailgating and the smells and the food and the passion that's there just in the parking lot. I mean, he just was never, his eyes were big. He'd never seen anything like that. And then we get into the stadium and you know, the size of the stadium and the crowds that are there and the energy. And I was trying to explain the different traditions, things to expect, but he was just wide-eyed. Now, you have to know, 2018, that was the first year that Patrick Mahomes was the starting quarterback for the Chiefs. It was when all of a sudden there was this anticipation, this excitement, this hope in a team that had been good at times, but were really good right now. And it was a great game. We played the Bengals that night, beat them 45-10. It was like a perfect game. And I tell you what, Kyle was changed that day. And it wasn't just because of the Chiefs. It was the energy of the crowd. There was an energy and an excitement and an anticipation. And all of a sudden, he was all in. And in fact, has been ever since. You cannot find a bigger Kansas City Chiefs fan than Kyle, even though he never played sports at all in his life. And I share that with you because I want you to see there is great power in crowds. When there is a crowd, there's power to influence how we feel and how we act, and sometimes even how we believe. And the scripture reading that we heard this morning begins this way. The next day, the great crowd had come to the festival. They heard Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Do you notice that? The great crowd. John tells us that there's already this great crowd that, and it's been building for a while. It didn't just happen that day. In fact, even just a few verses earlier, it said something similar. It said, when the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, talking about Jesus, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus. You see, Jesus has just performed one of his biggest miracles in John, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And it served a couple of purposes. One is it's foreshadowing what is coming up. I mean, think about it. Here is a man who was dead and buried, and Jesus comes, and he's raised from the dead. You think that's a coincidence that happens right before he enters into Jerusalem? It's there to get their attention, to remind them what he is about. And not just get the attention of the crowd and get the excitement built, but also to get the attention of the Pharisees. I like to think of the Pharisees as Los Angeles Raiders fans, you know, kind of the other side that also bring more energy to the story. But that the Pharisees, at that point, after Jesus raises Lazarus, it says that the Pharisees looked for a way to arrest him. And not just him, they were even going to arrest Lazarus and put Lazarus to death. It got a lot of people's attention, but especially these crowds that started to build and the energy, it was a lot like a Chiefs game. And as Jesus enters the city that day, the crowds, they take up palm branches and they start to wave them around in the air. They start shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, which probably made even more people show up. The energy and the noise and the seeing what's going on. And this great crowd just continued to grow and to grow, which as they started shouting the same things, they might not even know why they were there. They just saw something was happening and they wanted to be a part of that. And not knowing who Jesus was, and yet they were there because they wanted to belong to something. And that's important to recognize, this idea of belonging. We have this need to belong to something. You know, Brené Brown, I love reading Brené Brown. If you have not been introduced to her, she is worth hearing. Her research, especially on belonging. She says that human beings have this need to belong. It's part of who we are, and it's powerful. It's so powerful, it causes us to do certain things. It's this feeling that when we don't belong can be dangerous, that if we don't feel like we belong anywhere, it has the power to break our hearts and to break our spirits and to break our self-worth. Are we of any value if we don't belong someplace? It's such a powerful thing that when we feel like we don't belong, we replace it with something else. She says, we replace it with fitting in, which is not the same as belonging. That we go along with the crowd. We do what they expect because we fear rejection so much, we try to fit in. And the problem is that leads to what we call inauthenticity, or that loss of authenticity. And psychologists believe that authenticity is very important to our well-being, because when we aren't authentic with our lives, they say that three things happen, and they're all connected. The first, they say, is self-alienation. We become alienated to our true selves. We become separated from who we are. And we feel like we don't know who we are or what we really value, which also leads to inauthentic living, behaviors that don't really reflect our true feelings. We deny how we feel, and our behaviors just don't match up. And finally, the third thing is that we find ourselves controlled by external influences. We change our behaviors so we can fit in, so we can feel like maybe we belong, even though it's not the same. And we can change from situation to situation just so we fit in, and we lose ourselves even more. Brené Brown describes that as being a chameleon. We sometimes become experts at just fitting in. And the truth is, all of us have done this. All of us do it at different points in our lives, and maybe we become experts ourselves, because we have this fear of not belonging. And not only does it have certain mental health effects on us, it can do damage and damage to others. I remember when I was in high school, I was on the wrestling team. As a freshman, I made the varsity. I was the only freshman on the entire varsity wrestling team, a team that had won the state championship the year before. I mean, I try to make that sound like I was really good. The truth is, I was 98 pounds, and there weren't a lot of upperclassmen that were 98 pounds. And so I made the varsity wrestling team. But honestly, being the only freshman, the smallest one on the team, I didn't fit in. I really didn't belong with the others. These were not my peers, but I wanted desperately to be a part of them, to fit in, to be one of them. Now, the 80s, when I was going to high school, was kind of this era of big portable stereos. You remember those? Those big stereos that you could carry on your shoulder, jam boxes. And so people, a lot of us bought those, and we'd always have them on these trips when we went to go wrestling and play them in the vans and things. But then it also was the era of the Walkman. The little portable cassette player that had these little headphones. You remember those? It was kind of interesting, the very big and the very small. But I remember there was one of the wrestlers on the team. He had both the big stereo, but he also had those little headphones. And if you remember, they had kind of this wire that went over the top, and they fit on top of your ears, not like the earbuds and not like the great big ones that cancel out the sound, but with these little foamy pads on them that fit up against your ears. I remember the first time I ever saw headphones like that. I thought, how unique. I mean, can you really get good sound out of something like that? Not like the great big stereos with the big speakers. And I remember this wrestler had it, and he would plug those in and just listen to his own music. And so we were at eating one time, and he had those in, not paying attention. He could just drown everybody else out. And we started asking him, do those really work? Is that really a good sound in those headphones? And he was bragging about how great they were and how he could just tune out everybody else. They were so good, he couldn't hear anything else going on when he had them on. And we were a little skeptical. We said, really? That's not true. So then we started testing him. We would test as he was listening to his music, trying to talk to him to see if he'd react or say something to him or call his name. And he was really good, didn't budge at all. Seemed to try to impress us that he had the next best thing. And so some of the wrestlers decided they were going to test him a little more. Just happened that this student was African American. And so as we were eating, they started using the N-word around him to see if he would react. Now, he was either the best actor I've ever seen in the world, or he really couldn't hear because he did not react or flinch at all to that. Now, you got to realize, these were his friends doing that. They weren't trying to be hateful. They were trying to get him to react and respond and prove that he really could hear them. And yet that doesn't make it any less sensitive or wrong. It was absolutely wrong. And I knew it was wrong. And yet I wanted so badly to fit in, to be part of that group, that not only did I not say anything, I participated with them. And I tell you, 40 years later, I'm still embarrassed because I knew I wasn't being authentic. I was doing whatever I could to fit in with a group of people because I wanted so desperately to belong. And in that moment, I was self-alienated. I was influenced by others, and I wasn't living my authentic self. And I knew it. That is the problem with trying to fit in, being inauthentic. But Jesus does something remarkable in our scripture today. The people are not only joining in, they're feeding off the energy of the crowd, but they're trying to influence Jesus to be something that they want. That when they start shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel, that comes from Psalm 118. It's a psalm for the entrance of a king, a mighty warrior. And when they start waving the palms around, that just adds to the message because that was reserved for the entrance of a conquering hero, somebody who had led a revolt, a military king who had won a battle. And that phrase, when they say Hosanna, and then they end with the King of Israel, that actually isn't in the psalm. They added that in because that's what they wanted. They wanted him to be their king, the one to take over, to lead them against Rome. They wanted Jesus to be that kind of a king that would lead them into battle and remove the Romans from their land. The problem is Jesus knows what he's truly about. And he's not going to separate himself from his authentic self just so that he can fit in and please the crowd. No matter how loud they are, no matter how much energy there is, no matter how much influence they try to put on him, his purpose is not to lead a military revolt. He has come to Jerusalem for a different purpose. His purpose is to share the authentic love of God. And that includes a cross, not a military. And in John's version, after they start hailing him as king, he does something interesting. In John's version, Jesus comes into Jerusalem walking, but as soon as they start shouting and calling him king and waving the palms, it's then that he finds a donkey and he sits on it. And it's a very clear message to the people who are there in the crowds that his kingdom is not going to be brought by force, but that it's going to come through peace. He has chosen to live his purpose, not theirs or ours. There's one more interesting line in John's version of this story. It says, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but after Jesus was glorified, they remembered. When it says after he was glorified in John's gospel, that always means after he went to the cross. Then they remembered this event. Then they remembered what he was about. Jesus didn't submit to the pressure of the crowd. He chose to be authentic, even if that meant rejection, which is exactly what happens, doesn't it? This same crowd with all that energy that is shouting, Hosanna, and blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, our King of Israel, is the same crowd, the same ones, just a few days later that are going to be shouting, crucify him, crucify him, because he didn't lead into the expectations that they had. You see, to be authentic takes courage, whether it's Jesus or whether it's us, because it's often easier just to fit in. But the message of Jesus is this. Jesus says to each of us, you know what? I love you. I love the real you, the one I created you to be. In fact, I love you so much, I would do anything, even give my life for you. Our theme this year during Lent, right here at Grace, has been real life meets real love. Jesus invites us to bring our real lives every time we gather and bring every part of our life and promises to meet us there with the real love of God. And that's our desire as a church, to be a church where we can be authentic and real with each other and to bring our real lives and know it'll always be embraced with love. Our purpose is to live like Jesus.